Ezra, thanks for joining us. What was your reaction? And I know you wrote the open letter last week, but if you could just summarize it, what was the reaction that you had to the NCAA's decision to pull championship events out of the state and also the ACC's decision to follow suit immediately after?
Hey, Aaron, thank you so much for having me on air here today. My reaction to the NCAA's initial decision to pull their championship events from the state of North Carolina was honestly surprised. I was impressed, and I certainly did not anticipate them making that decision, at least not so quickly. And so I was actually in class when the decision was made, and I came out of class to my phone just blowing up with all of these notifications, and my peers within the ACC Student Athlete Advisory Committee were talking about it, the administrators at UNC were talking about it, and everyone was really just anxious to get thoughts on what the implications were and certainly the next steps as far as our conference. And so to answer your second question, I immediately began a dialogue with my peers in the ACC SAC, and we all felt very strongly that now that the governing body of collegiate athletics had set a precedent, it was imperative that we followed suit and got on board. You know, there was, and as I wrote in the article with my co-author Blake Dodge on the women's track and field team, there was really no longer did we have any excuse to continue to not act. The precedent had been set, and it was clear that there was an opportunity here to be either on the right side of history or the wrong side of history.
How did those conversations go with the Student Athlete Advisory Committee and the conference at large? Was it unanimous among the students on SAC? What's your influence on the ACC's decision in general?
Yeah, so to answer the first part of that question, there was unanimous support within the ACC Student Athlete Advisory Committee group message in which we had this dialogue between student-athlete representatives from all 15 of the member institutions within the ACC. All the student-athletes felt very strongly that, the best thing for the ACC to do now would be to follow suit and pull its championship events from the neutral sites in North Carolina. As to how much influence we each, as student-athletes, were able to have individually on the ACC's actual decision, that's a little bit more nuanced. So Commissioner Swofford's meeting with the Council of Presidents within the ACC was called almost immediately. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday of last week, but the date wasn't announced to the public, and so even us as student-athletes weren't aware of when our representatives from the administration would be meeting with the commissioner to make that decision. And so it all happened rather quickly. I know that administrators were not able to vet students' opinions as much as they would have liked to. However, I will say that to the credit of our faculty athletics representative and athletic director and chancellor here at UNC, I was in communication with them through email and through text almost real time. And so my opinion was certainly, they were receptive to my opinion, and I was able to get some input in terms of asking them to vote a certain way or not. And whether they did is all confidential, but I was certainly able to voice my opinion and let them know that I had been in contact with other ACC student athletes and communicate their opinion as well.
Speaking with Ezra Bailey Wong, who is the president of the Student Athlete Advisory Committee for the ACC, also co-chair of the Student Athlete Advisory Committee at UNC. And Ezra, what about other student athletes at UNC, and what about students in general at UNC Chapel Hill? What are they thinking? What are they saying about House Bill 2 and about this decision?
So certainly the reaction across the board for the student body population and the student athlete population has some variance. Depending on how much each individual student is really aware of the bill's contents and implications and the ways in which the LGBTQ community is currently being affected by that bill and how they could be affected in the future, certainly has some influence over how each individual student feels about the legislation and the NCAA and the ACC's decisions to pull championships. For those that are more well-informed on the discriminatory nature of the bill and what it actually authorizes, I think it's a little bit easier to sort of see why the NCAA and the ACC would take the stances that they have and make the decisions that they have. However, that's certainly not to say that athletes aren't upset. And I think that it's possible to both understand the motives and the rationale behind the decisions that the NCAA and the ACC have made while also being upset. Those two things are not mutually exclusive because, to an extent, it's not, you know, it is unfair in that many student athletes are losing this fantastic opportunity to compete at the highest level in their home state in front of friends and family, largely over something that has very little to do with them. You know, I'm sure many student athletes didn't make this decision to pass this bill. They didn't vote for it, things like that. And so that makes it tough.
And for people who haven't been on campus and aren't generally on campus on a regular basis, what actually, give us a sense of what the actual tangible impact of this bill has been on campus for the student body, for students in general, for LGBT students in particular, over the last 6 months that we've been dealing with HB2?
Yeah, absolutely. So HB2 essentially sanctions. It is a form of state-sanctioned discrimination in that it provides for, it prohibits the passage of any laws that would protect LGBTQ community members from any form of discrimination. And it also removes previous protections that were in place. And so it essentially codifies or legalizes discrimination against a protected group of individuals. And so while at UNC we've been fortunate enough to go to a university that has publicly declared that it will not enact this bill in practice, you know, it will not enforce HB2, the emotional and the psychological impact on people within the LGBTQ community is difficult to quantify, you know. It's a hurtful, discriminatory, oppressive bill. And, you know, there have been many forms of protest in the forms of rallies and signs and flyers all over campus, just demonstrating solidarity with the LGBTQ community because it's inconsistent with the values that the University of North Carolina holds. And those are values of inclusion and safety and security for all people on this campus.
You mentioned there the UNC line that they're not going to, or they have no plans on actually enforcing any of the mechanisms in the bill, and that's been Margaret Spelling's statement from the beginning. Does that really make any difference for you or any students at UNC?
That's an interesting question. I think that it certainly does make a difference. I think the real question is to what degree does it make a difference? You know, I think that in any case, it's certainly comforting to hear you know, the university system's president come out with a statement reaffirming, you know, the system's commitment to its constituents and the students and the faculty and staff and all the people who make up this community. I certainly don't want to diminish the importance of her having made that public statement. However, when you're living in a state whose state legislature and state law is one that authorizes discrimination, that's really, I think, the thing that most people are going to be fighting against, regardless of what each individual institution claims to do or not do in terms of enforcing the bill.
Speaking with Ezra Bialy Wong, again, Student Athlete Advisory Committee president at the ACC level, co-chair at the UNC level. He's a senior. He's a member of the UNC fencing team. And Ezra, you wrote a really strong letter, open letter, commending the ACC and the NCAA for making their decisions when they did a couple of weeks ago. What's been the reaction that you've gotten to that letter?
Well, the reaction that I've gotten to that letter, I think it varies very much depending on the medium that you're talking about. So individuals who know me personally and have reached out over Facebook or through text or through social media or personal forms of communication have been strongly supportive. The administration here at UNC has, or at least the individual administrators, so I don't know that in their official capacity that they have either endorsed or condemned the letter, but certainly personally to me, I have received strong showings of support. And I think that the sentiment expressed in that letter, while perhaps more strongly worded than it could be if it were to come straight from the desk of an administrator, I think it reflects the general sentiment of UNC and that, you know, at Carolina, we do not support any sorts of laws that discriminate against individuals based on their sexual orientation or gender identity. And then, you know, there are always the comments that you get on the internet. So if you just scroll through the comment page on the News and Observer's website, there are individuals outside of the UNC community I guess, in Chapel Hill or in the greater North Carolina area who disagree with my opinion, and that's okay too.
You mentioned statements of support from administrators of UNC. Is that sort of the general reaction that you've gotten from people who are really high up at UNC? I know you've talked to Bubba Cunningham, Carol Fold. Is that sort of what you've gotten from them too?
Certainly. I would say that I can say that I have not received any backlash or any slaps on the wrist or any advice to cease and desist on doing things like that. I think that people like Chancellor Fulton and our athletic director, Bubba Cunningham, you know, while their hands are a little bit more tied than mine as public officials and employees of the state, they have a very political line to toe. But I think that they can, at the very least, in their capacity, you know, their primary allegiance is to this university. And the values of the University of North Carolina are inconsistent with the values that HB2 is attempting to promote. And so I think that they're relatively on board.
Got to let you go in just a second. But before we do, what are the next steps for the Student Athlete Advisory Committee? And what would you like to see the next steps be, both at the university level, at the ACC, NCAA level, and also with respect to the General Assembly in this ongoing fight that they're still having over House Bill 2 in terms of the actual law?
Absolutely. So to start with next steps at the ACC, NCAA, and campus level, I think that while both the NCAA and the ACC have made very strong statements and done the right thing in this situation in terms of pulling their championships from the state, the next immediate priority is to shift our attention to those non-neutral sites that will be remaining in North Carolina for ACC championship events that are being held on campus sites. And so this was a provision that was allowed because the principle here is that all 15 ACC member institutions have reaffirmed their commitment to uphold the values of equality, diversity, inclusion, and non-discrimination, and therefore campus sites were allowed to continue hosting championships. Now, that's a difficult and nuanced thing to deal with when you are an individual member institution within a greater state that is now, according to legislation, authorizing discrimination against certain groups of people. And so how we move forward to ensure that these campus sites really are going to be safe and inclusive environments for all players, faculty, staff, fans, coaches, is the next question. And so that's where our focus will shift. As for the greater legislative battle being fought at the state and federal level, I guess the latest updates that I've seen have shown some sort of negotiations going on between Charlotte's legislature, which passed an ordinance that sort of catalyzed this whole HB2 legislation as a response. And so I would very much like to see HB2 be repealed. I think that much is clear. And I think in an ideal world, that would happen without having to make any concessions or sacrifices on a more local level in terms of the legislation that has been passed to protect members of the LGBTQ community.
Ezra Bialy-Wong is the president of the ACC Student Athlete Advisory Committee, co-chair of the UNC Student Athlete Advisory Committee. Ezra, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Aaron.